New York City approved a plan this week to hire 500 new transit officers to patrol subways and buses in an effort to make them safer. But some riders are protesting the city's increased police presence at stations. Those were protesters in Brooklyn last month chanting, "How do you spell racist? NYPD. Riders are complaining about what they call over-policing of black and brown riders and a recent increase in fares. And New York isn't the only place where protests are taking place. Chile's massive protests started with rate hikes, and protesters brought Hong Kong to its knees by using transit stops to protest larger issues. Terry Nguyen is a reporter with Vox and has been writing about this. Terry, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
There's a long history here of racial profiling and targeting, and this feels like an extension of that history. An NYPD report released in August found almost 90% of the people arrested for fare evasion are black or Latino. What is the reason for that? How does race and class fuel these movements?
Yeah, so I did like read through MTA data, and it's striking to me because as just a casual user of the MTA, you've noticed people of all different sorts of demographics and different from different classes and from different boroughs using it. So what activists say about class is that with a rise in fares and like class and race are interconnected, you're already targeting vulnerable poorer people. And in New York, it's impossible to get anywhere without taking the MTA. And activists are concerned about the rise in fares because they feel that poor people already are not likely to live close to transit hubs, and this will affect how they get to their jobs, and not being able to afford transit will affect their livelihood, essentially.
Yeah, New York isn't the only place, though, that we're seeing these uprisings. There are other places. I'm thinking of Chile, for instance, which comes to mind. How is public transportation playing a role on these ongoing demonstrations around the world as part of what some are calling a global protest wave?
Yeah, so public transit systems have become either a space for protest or they're inadvertently affected by ongoing demonstrations worldwide. And I think with strikes and protests in France, various cities' transit networks, especially Paris, are struggling to operate. There's also tension, as you mentioned, in Santiago, Chile, and in Hong Kong, because residents see these systems as an extension of their local government, but they're also a public service. So in Chile, for example, whatever policies are passed, like a fare hike or an increased policing in New York. It's seen as a state's priority, but people are really disgruntled when it's not fully reflecting their will.
And talk more about that, you know, because it's symptomatic of a larger issue that people are feeling perhaps more policed, as you said, in New York in that case. But there are also other issues that rise up, really, and this is sort of the symbol of that.
Yeah, so I spoke to some political science experts who study like public space and protest, and they say that a change, even a fare hike of a few cents, can really strike a nerve. And it's a pressure cooker environment, right? Like these protests are not completely tied to the public transit system, but because transit affects so many people, it's really easy for people of different classes, of different demographics, to feel like they're being collectively impacted by something like a fare hike.
Yeah. What motivates cities to raise fares? I'm guessing it has to do with collecting more money for city services. But I'm just wondering some of the reasons why some cities say they're doing this, and also a crackdown on fare evasion, why that's such a priority for many, many places.
Yeah, so most public transit systems in American cities, it's important to note that they rely on fares to function. And the problem is most of our transit systems aren't profitable. In fact, it's very rare to see a profitable system. In New York, fares account for about 38%, I think, of the MTA's annual earnings. And so the idea of cracking down on fare evasion, at least from New York officials' point of view, is that they're going to lose less money compared to what they're currently losing. But a lot of citizens are confused as to why an agency and the New York MTA already has such a high budget deficit. They feel like it's unfair that they're spending more on law enforcement. But according to the city, how much they're spending will bring in more fares. So it will make up for what they're spending.
I'm also wondering, how do other cities incentivize people to pay the fare without using the police?
Yeah, so I've read up on some transit systems in other European cities. Most of them have adopted a proof of payment system as early as, I think, in the 1960s. So instead of having these turnstiles or these gates that make boarding slower, that require people to scan their card or swipe their card through, they have undercover operatives who will randomly check people's tickets. And I spoke to researchers from Australia. They say that having these undercover operatives keep commuters on their toes, which means they're more likely to pay for a ticket. And this isn't only in Europe. In San Francisco, for their bus system, they've also implemented something of that sort, and it makes transit systems much faster.
Terry Nguyen is a reporter for Vox's The Goods. Terry, thank you so much for this.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
And some U.S. cities are taking another approach by decriminalizing transit fare evasion or getting rid of fares altogether. Your thoughts on the issue are welcome at hereandnow.org.